book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. And listen to what it has to say here. Let it sink down into your heart. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Listen, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Brother Nathan, would you ask the blessing upon this word this morning? Brother Nathan was talking about John Wesley this morning, who was it on board ship that he had the Moravians, who were a missionary-minded people, came to him and asked him if he had accepted Jesus, truly knew him as Lord and Savior. And of course, he quoted all the theological things that you expect somebody who goes to church would quote. But they said, do you know him? You know? And having known what it's like to experience the power of the Spirit in my own life, and also having experienced what it means just to simply be religious, I can understand his feelings and his position at that particular time. You see, we need to truly know him. And the only way that we can truly know him is by the power of his Spirit. Amen? It's plain and simple. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without the Spirit of Christ in our lives, we can't even be saved, and we can't even be transformed. There's a lot of people who are very religious. They know what the Bible says, but they've really never known him. One of the evidences, I believe, of the born-again experience is a changed life. A transformed life that comes by the power of the Spirit dwelling within the believer's life and heart. And so that is one of the things that I don't want to fail to communicate to you here this morning. I want everybody to be able to grasp an understanding about this so that you might know him, not just know about him, but know him. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, there's a lot of people who have allowed their understanding about how to be right with God to be muddled up by the doctrines of man. Would you agree with me on that? The Bible says that men lie in wait to deceive with every wind of doctrine. And so people have a misunderstanding a lot of times. And what they actually end up believing is some things that are foolish. You know, and I tell you, people do some foolish things, don't they? You know, I was reading some things I just thought was kind of humorous in a way, if it weren't so sad, about things in the flesh. But I read this thing about a fellow who was an AT&T president, and they fired him. His name was John Walter. They fired him after 9 months because they said that he lacked in intellectual leadership. But after they fired him, they proceeded to give him a $26 million severance package. Now, in my opinion, I don't think it's Walter who was lacking intelligence. You see what I'm saying? But we see a lot of people in religious circles, they play their spiritual game loosely like that, you see? And the gospel message is simple. It's put out there plain for us to grasp and to see. Another one was a man was walking into a Topeka, Kansas quick shop, and he asked for all the money in the cashier drawer. Apparently, the take was too small, so he tied up the store clerk and worked the counter himself for 3 hours until the police showed up and grabbed him. Do you believe that? Again, we see that in the flesh, but we see it in the spiritual sense too a lot of times, you see. And finally, the one that I thought was pretty dumb was in 2006 in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. There was a woman by the name of, I hope I pronounce her name right. It's M-Y-R-L-E-N-E, Myrene sever. And of course, the name to me is humorous because of what the subject matter is. But she was returning from a trip to Haiti, and the Haitian customs officials noticed that there was something in her suitcase that she forgot to declare. It was her head. Not hers, but a head, a skull in her bag. This particular skull was to ward off evil spirits. And she allegedly told customs official, and again, her name, Severed Head, told them that this package from the Haitian man that she got it from was to ward off evil spirits as part of her voodoo beliefs. But instead of protecting her, it landed her in jail. Now, the brother who wrote this said Sever was a native of Haiti, and she was arrested and charged with intentionally smuggling a human head in the United States and for not having the proper paperwork, as well as bringing hazardous material onto the plane. Each count carried a 5-year maximum sentence, meaning Sever could spend up to 15 years in federal prison if convicted. You see, this woman named Sever, she was severely, you might say, committed to ward off evil spirits, but she was severely mixed up. Not wanting evil spirits to attack her is one thing, but folks, acquiring the Haitian skull is not the way to keep them away. And again, we look at this and we think, man, this is really silly. This is stupid. But we see things in religious circles that are equally as dumb. You know, the things that people hold on to and believe. So it's not surprising that many people are quite superstitious when it comes to things in life. And instead of seeking after the one true living God, they do all kinds of crazy, weird things. They believe all kinds of crazy, weird things. Things that actually combine Christianity with actual witchcraft. Scientology. You know, we mentioned just last week about the people who got all pushed out of shape, Christians, even who bought into this Mayan calendar thing. Why in the world would they fall prey to the belief that some pagan thing was going to happen and not believe what God's Word has to say? But people do. Folks, we teach here in this church, we teach that we are to believe in the one true living God, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is to dwell within the heart and the life of the believer. Let me read that verse of Scripture to you again, Romans 8 and 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Pretty tough words, huh? But it is the Spirit of Christ that gives us life. Acts 2, verse 38 says, and Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know a lot of people who have looked at this verse of Scripture, this is talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No, it's not. It's talking about when you, the moment you get saved, the moment you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and by faith, God places His Spirit within you. It's a gift from God. Acts 5:32. It says, and we are His witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. God places His Spirit within the believer. And God gives us His Holy Spirit so that we can walk in repentance, amen, and have a life that is transformed and conformed into His image, into His desires, into His will. Now think about the Holy Spirit for a moment. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, or the Godhead. And we should be as committed to the Holy Spirit as we are to the Father and the Son. Committed to Him for the purpose that God has Him here in this world, to acquiring His help. You know, the Bible says in the Greek that His name is called the Paraclete, meaning one who walks alongside to help. Committed to following His leading so that we can be transformed by His power. And like I said before, without the Holy Spirit, we don't have the power to even transform ourselves one iota. And like I said, please don't confuse the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is given to every believer. God said that. This gift is to you and your children, as many as the Lord your God shall call. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is given to give us power for service. You see? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 through 14 describes this gift that God gives to everyone who calls upon Him, His name, and believes in who Jesus is in obedience to the Scriptures. It says, "In Him we also, after we obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted," and that's a key word, "we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." Anybody here ever bought something on layaway or anything? You know, you got a ticket, right? And that's kind of a seal for you, saying, "I purchased this," when you go in to pick it up. Okay. One day, God's coming to pick up His purchased possession. Amen? Are you ready? Do you have the seal of the Holy Spirit in your life? Like it says, if no man has the Holy Spirit, you're none of his. Remember, we told you that there's two different, well, there's actually about three different baptisms that are spoken of in the Scripture. Water baptism. And then there's being baptized by the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us, John said, that Jesus is the one who would baptize us in the Holy Spirit and fire, right? But we find that it is the Spirit that baptizes us into the body of Christ. By one Spirit, the Bible says, we are baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 13, it says, As the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we have all been baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. You see, when you believe, you're baptized into the body of Christ, and God gives you of His Spirit. If you believe, you have the Spirit of Christ within you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 puts it this way. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Listen to what it says. Having this seal. What is the seal? We already talked about the seal. It's the seal of the Holy Spirit. If you have been baptized into the body of Christ and you have the seal of the Holy Spirit, it stands. And it says, the Lord knows those that are His, though, you see. But it says, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You see, without the seal of the Holy Spirit, we cannot transform ourselves into a vessel that is fit for His use. You see, you must have the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you're going to remain in sin. You're going to continue to walk in the flesh, in the ways of the world. But if you have of His Spirit, it will transform you. And again, that is evidence of the fact that you have been changed and born again of the Spirit. Now notice the verses of Scripture afterwards, after verse 19. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 through 22. It says, "But in a great house there is not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, and some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter," listen to this now. You mean cleanse yourself from the latter, the wood and the clay? It means you have the opportunity to cleanse yourself from being the wood and the clay, can be made into a vessel of gold and silver. That's what it says. He will be a vessel for honor. This is what it says. And sanctified and useful for the master and prepared for every good work. That is the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And if the power of the Holy Spirit is present in your life, there should be a transformation take place. And if there is no transformation taking place, do you have the Holy Spirit? And he goes on to give instruction how. Flee also youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Amen. Now who is truly the one that can be identified as the one who might claim to know Christ but not have Christ? The Scriptures actually make it clear that there are those who claim to know Christ but don't actually have Christ. Do you realize that? I've read this scripture several times to you. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out in the world. Many false prophets have gone out in the world? You mean there are people out there teaching things that are causing people to do dumb things? Because the dumbest thing you could do is depart from the Word of God to believe what man says. Amen? The doctrines of man? We need to believe God. But this, you know that the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. It is the Spirit of God that teaches you the truth, so that you will not be deceived by the sleight of men, the doctrines, the wind of doctrines that come in into churches and things like that. It is the Holy Spirit that keeps you and helps you to be able to maintain that solid foundation. Amen? They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, we're going to couple this with 1 John chapter 2. I'll give you a moment to turn there. I didn't write this down for Natalie to put up there. I'm going to give her time to actually put up there for you. 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 18. Little children, who's he talking to? He's talking to us. He says, it is the last hour, as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Would you say that we're living in the last hour? I believe we are. But he says, even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Now, let's interpret Antichrist. What does Antichrist mean? It doesn't necessarily mean against, but a lot of times it means instead of. Okay? Christ means anointed. Anointed of what? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Notice what it says about them. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Now listen to what it says here. And why it's so important to be born again in the Spirit and have the Spirit of God. But you have an anointing. Amen. Of the Spirit. From the Holy Spirit. And you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either, and he who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you. You hear that? Let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. And if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing, the Spirit, teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has been taught to you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Meaning that if the Spirit of God is in you, he is going to transform your life. And you are going to begin to practice righteousness. If you continue to practice wickedness, I'm telling you folks, you got to ask yourself, Have you been born again of the Spirit? This is God's Word. It's not just Carrie saying it. It's so important for us to understand. The power of the Holy Spirit is so important in our lives. It should not ever be neglected. But we have a choice. We can receive the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives or not. There was one brother who had another man take him to the Niagara Falls. And he said to him, he said, come, I'm going to show you the greatest unused power in the world. And taking him by the hand and taking him to the foot of Niagara Falls, he said, there, this is the greatest unused power of the world. And he said, no, brother, no. The greatest unused power of the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit, folks, is enormous, great power, the power of powers. And it's available to every believer to overcome. Now, the Holy Spirit is not to be some kind of errand boy for you and I. That's not what God's called the Holy Spirit to do. He's come to come alongside us, to instruct us in the ways of God, to do God's will, not our will. And so oftentimes when people come, this is not your will be done, but my will be done, instead of the other way around. But we need to come and submit ourselves to Him and allow the will of God to be done in our lives, because He's able and available to bless us and to give us the strength for all of life's trials if we but come and ask. Now, I don't usually use the New Living Testament, but I was reading this verse of Scripture the other day, and I like how it puts it. In Ephesians 3, verse 16, and again, this is New Living Testament. I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources, He will empower you with strength through the Spirit. Don't you like that? That's awesome. So folks, when life gets tough, we get tough at work and family, wherever, it doesn't matter. The Lord is able to strengthen our human spirit by His powerful Spirit, you see. Now, we need to pray. And we need to ask God, God, strengthen me. I'm weak, Lord, but You are strong. I can't do this without You. And continually seek Him without giving up. How does God do this? I don't know. God created the world. I don't know. All I know is that, you know, if I understood everything about God, that would make me His equal. I just know that He does it. Amen. Even though I don't understand how He works through me at times, how He works through you, I know that it is true, and I know that it's available whenever we need it. Amen? I was reading a story about Corrie Ten Boom. How many of you ever read about Corrie Ten Boom? Well, she was a woman who lived during World War II, and she actually passed away in 1983. But she was born in Amsterdam. And in the Netherlands. And she was the youngest of three sisters and one brother. Her father was a watchmaker, and she was raised in the Dutch Reformed Church. She never married, ever. And her family moved to Haarlem, I believe is the name of the city. And she began to train as a watchmaker in 1920. And in 1922 became the first female watchmaker licensed in the Netherlands. But Corrie, she was one that was used by God. You see, during World War II, she rescued many Jews from certain death. The Nazi SS during this time of the Holocaust, they destroyed many people. And in 1940, the Nazis invaded the Netherlands. By 1942, her family had become very active in the Dutch underground, hiding refugees. The family's work in saving Jews was motivated by their staunch Christian beliefs. They helped the Jews unconditionally, regardless of whether they were converted, and even provided kosher foods and honored the Sabbath. You see, the Nazis arrested the whole family, the whole Ten Boom family in 1944. And they were all sent to Dutch prisons. And finally, they were sent to the notorious Ravensbrück concentration camp. In September 1944, it was the time when there was deep darkness in her life because Corrie's sister Betsy died. And Corrie, after some time, was released in December of 1944. In the movie The Hiding Place, Corrie narrates the section of her release, and she said that She later learned that the release was a clerical error, as prisoners of her age were normally put to death. She returned to the Netherlands and began her rehabilitation centers. And she went to Germany in 1946, beginning for many years of preaching in over 60 countries. And during that time, she wrote many, many books. Her preaching was focused on the Christian gospel with emphasis on forgiveness. She wrote a book called Tramp for the Lord in 1974. And in this book, she tells a story of how she was preaching in Germany in 1947, she was approached by one of the cruelest former Ravensbrück camp guards. And of course, she was naturally reluctant to forgive him. But she prayed and she asked the Holy Spirit to help her to forgive. She said she reached out her hand, and for a long moment, she said, "We grasped each other's hand. The former guard and the former prisoner." She said, "I have never known God's love so intense as I did at that time." How was Corrie ten Boom able to endure during that time in that prison camp? The abuse of the guards and everything else that happened. How did she eventually come out and be able to forgive her captors? It's called the grace of God, by the Spirit of God. Amen. The same way it was in the very beginning when the church was persecuted. How could they go through those things? Because the Spirit of God was there and gave them the grace to be able to do things. There's a reason why the scripture says, "Greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world." Remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We all as believers need the strength of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can never ever think that we can cut it on our own. So we need to be committed, folks, and asking the Spirit's help to help strengthen us in our lives. Without Him, we can't do anything. And it's only by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit that we can change and please God. I heard someone once say, "Don't imagine that you can change a man unless he's in diapers." Amen. I think there's a lot of truth to that. I believe as believers, it's very difficult to change people apart from the Spirit of God. That's why just simply being religious isn't going to cut it. People need to experience the Spirit of God. Now, as believers, I believe that we should be influencing one another by our lives. Amen. One of my favorite verses of Scripture is Proverbs 27:17, which says, "Iron sharpens iron, and so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." You see, you and I are to be encouraging and strengthening one another, you know. But folks, if somebody's a non-believer and they've not experienced the Spirit of Christ, like the Bible says, they're not of His. Trying to get somebody to obey apart from the Spirit of God, it's just not natural. It's like you've heard the old illustration of, you can clean up a pig and you can put a ribbon on him, you put perfume on him, but as soon as the door's opened up, he's going to go out and he's going to wall on the mud. He's not been changed inside. He's still a pig. And the same thing is true. Unless a person is converted, you can be religious and you can try to say, "I'm not going to do this anymore," but sooner or later, you'll end up back in it unless you're changed by the power of the Spirit of God. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us how it is that we sharpen one another, you might say. Here it says, in verse 23 through 25, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He is faithful, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." That's sharpening iron with iron. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." You see the day approaching? Now, as brothers and sisters, we need to encourage one another. What is it that we need to encourage one another with more than anything else? What we started on the onset. We need to make sure that we do not have a lack of communication in this thing. That you have a power available to you that this world cannot know. And it's there to help strengthen you and help you in every situation and trial of life. And all you've but to do is believe and trust God. I heard a story about a man who went to Calcutta one time and asked Mother Teresa, I can't remember exact word he used, but he said, Mother Teresa, would you pray for me that I would just have a total belief in what have you, and never waver? And she said, no, I won't do that. And he said, well, why? It seems like you have such a solid, you know, faith and never waver. And he said, no. He goes, she said, what I simply do is just trust God. I won't pray that God just gives you everything. I will pray that you will trust Him. That's the key. Trust Him and He will give it to you. Amen? The things He's promised, He won't withhold. Hasn't the Scripture said, if a father asks, or if a son asks his father for a loaf of bread, will he give him a stone? And it goes on to mention a rock or a serpent or something like that. He goes, how much more will God give us of His Holy Spirit if we but ask? You know the problem? People are not asking. They're not asking. Remember James? You have not because you ask not. That's the problem with the Christian church today, I believe. So many times people look at their condition. They don't see what God sees. He sees you in Christ. And if you are in Christ, He says you are a new creation. Amen? But we tend to get our eyes focused on that flesh nature that's still there. Right? And I think we're worthless. How could I ever change? How could I ever change? And some people, they think that. Can we truly change from being evil to good? From non-Christian to Christian? Is there any really true hope of change? Well, again, recreation is only possible through the one who created us in the first place, through the Spirit of God. By His Spirit, He spoke everything into existence. You got Peter, who was a big, strong, powerful, bolsterous fisherman, became a very powerful preacher. And Saul, who was a zealous persecutor of the church, a zealous Jew, became a fervent follower of Jesus Christ. And then there was John, who was known as a real hothead. He was called one of the sons of thunder, who became the apostle of love. So yes, it is possible. It's not easy. It's not easy, but it is possible. It takes time to change a person's heart and life. But you know what? That's why we have the Holy Spirit. And He's patient and He's loving. And His desire is to transform each and every one of us. I like how Max Lucado put it. He wrote this. He said, transformation isn't as easy, but our Lord is up to the task. He loves to change the faces of His children by His fingers. Wrinkles of worry are rubbed away. Shadows of shame and doubt become portraits of grace and trust. He relaxes clenched jaws and smooth furrowed brows. His touch can remove the bags of exhaustion from beneath the eyes and turn tears of despair into tears of peace. And how? Through worship. We expect something more complicated, more demanding. A 40-day fast or maybe memorization of Leviticus or perhaps one of the other books. God's plan is much simpler. He changes our faces through worship. We need to delight ourselves in the abundance of peace through worship. You can experience the Lord in a powerful way through worship. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 spoke about Moses. When Moses came down from the mountain of God, his face shone with the glory of God. But it talks about here how that we also can experience that same transformation. It says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm going to stop right there because it is running late. Just something for you to think about, give you some food for thought. You have a power available to you as a believer. God wants you to seek the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Allow His transforming power to mold you and make you into the vessel that is fit for His use. Amen. Everything that you have need of, He knows. And His desire is for your good. But again, don't listen to the lies of the enemy, because he's come but to rob and to kill and to destroy, to take away those things that God has planted in you initially. But allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen your heart and comfort your heart and help give you everything you need. Like I said, the Holy Spirit is also called the Comforter. Anybody here feel like they never need comfort? I need it continually. I feel overwhelmed with worthlessness sometimes. And I need to know that I'm right with God, not because of who I am, because Jesus loves me. And I know you feel the same way. Let's consider that today as we leave here. And may your hearts just be overflowing with love for the Lord and what He's done for you and what He has available for you. Let's bow our heads in prayer.